Hello, and welcome to Sobercast, where we provide AA speaker meetings and workshops in podcast format. We're an ad-free podcast, and if you enjoy listening, please help us be self-supporting by visiting Sobercast.com, look for the donate link, and drop a dollar or two into our virtual basket. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Have a great day.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Road to Recovery group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Alexis, and I'm an alcoholic. Could everyone please turn off their mobile phones or switch them to a silent profile, and please try to keep disruptions to a minimum. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. In support of AA's singleness of purpose, we'd respectfully ask that sharing be confined to alcoholics, and when discussing our problems, we confine ourselves to those problems as they relate to alcoholism. There may be visitors here who are unfamiliar with our tradition of anonymity. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and television. This tradition is a constant reminder that personal ambition has no place in AA. We are sure that anonymity is the greatest safeguard AA can ever have. We therefore seek your cooperation in protecting the anonymity of our members at the public level. The format of tonight's meeting will be 3 10-minute speakers, followed by a fourth speaker until approximately 8:30. The remainder of the meeting will then be open to the floor and closed at 9 o'clock. Can we please have a moment's silence to remember Tradition 5? Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Now tonight's final speaker is Gail.
Thanks, Alexis. My name's Gail. I'm an alcoholic. I'm very grateful to have been asked to share at my home group. It's a great privilege, and I'm grateful to AIM for having asked me. And I've known so many of you in this room for so long, because the great thing about this group is that, you know, there are people in here who've been here much longer than me, and people who've come in after. So you all know my story. So I'm sharing for the newcomers, so the rest of you can just chill out, zone out, and come back in 25 minutes. Because my message doesn't change. You know, when I came in to Alcoholics Anonymous, as these guys have described, you know, I was a wreck. It was the end of the line for me. And the great news is that if you are one of us, and I guess you wouldn't be sitting in an alcoholics, you know, meeting unless you were, you don't have to go down that far. You know, this can stop for you tonight. And I was just thinking when the other guys were talking, I don't know, 15 years ago, because, you know, I feel so grateful and so privileged that on Monday, you know, I will be 15 years sober. And it's absolutely miraculous, you know, that I've managed to do that a day at a time with the help of all of you guys, with God and with, you know, continued sponsorship. Because when I came in, I couldn't imagine not drinking or not behaving like I had for a day. And I'm not sure at that time, you know, how high profile the AA meetings were, because certainly when I had that collapse that Mark talked about, you know, the suggestion was that I went to a treatment facility, but thank God that was a 12-step facility. And the suggestion was that as soon as I came out, I got to meetings. So it doesn't matter how you get here. The important thing is that you get here. And they said to me very strongly, you know, you need to get to AA meetings, get yourself a sponsor and get stuck in. You need to take actions. You've got the tools. And I sat there and I thought, tools. I missed that bit. What tools have I got to have? I missed that one. What is it? And I panicked. And what the tools are is that do what you guys have done. Pick up what you've done. And I didn't realize that until I came to these meetings. And going back to, you know, how I got here, you know, I was not special and different to any one of you guys, but I felt alone for so many, many years. And, you know, in various shapes and forms, you've all described it, that, you know, I felt this separateness from other people. I had this innate fear of I didn't know what, this nervousness and that, you know, complete preoccupation with self, self-pity and selfishness and self-centeredness, and it was all about me, and I just didn't understand. I didn't understand until I got here that I couldn't do life. I thought by that time, after 30 years of drinking, that actually my problem was drink. I thought it was people around me. I was still blaming others and thinking it was all your fault, and if you'd behave, I'd be okay. But I thought, you know, principally that it was drink, and I was told it wasn't. You know, I had a problem with life. I couldn't live life on life's terms, and the only way I dealt with that really was, as you know, the guys before said, was to escape it, to stop my head thinking going, and just acting out. I would drink, and that choice had left me many, many years before. There was nothing in my childhood whatsoever, but I'd look at them and I'd just think, got a bum deal here, got a bum deal. Loving parents, you know, brothers who didn't act like me. And good advice, not to pick up alcohol. First thing I did, got some alcohol when my parents weren't around. And, you know, when I came in on my step four, I had, you know, my mother left home when I was 12. My father died when I was 20, you know. And all these outside things I blamed for the way I was and the reality was, it was all nonsense. It was all nonsense. I'm an alcoholic with a disease of alcoholism, and my thinking makes me believe I'm special and different when I'm not, because my brother's had the same circumstances. Other people have had far, far worse in their lives. I've been so lucky and blessed in my life, and yet the reality was to me then was, well, no, it's not good. But I was always going to do what I did. I was always going to pick up that first drink. You know, my father said to me when he took me to my first youth club, don't smoke, darling. It's an idiot's game. Learn from me. I went in the door, saw a guy smoking, walked straight across and said, can I have a cigarette, please? You know, that is my nature. I am defiant to the core. I cannot take direction. That is until I got here. And I will always, always say, you made me do it. It was your fault. And I had reports at school that said things like, can do better if she concentrates, needs to apply herself. You know, well, that was too much trouble. If it came easily, I did it. I enjoyed it. I loved it. You know, but then once I discovered alcohol, it took a different turn. I went with the people who drank like me and then the ones who drank more than me, so I didn't feel so bad. And as I say, I always, always knew that I was going to take that next drink, and it put me in terrible situations, you know, that we've all probably felt in our lives. And, you know, when Mark was saying that point of waking up and just for a few seconds, life was okay. Life was all right. And then, you know, inevitably by the end, for many, many years, it wouldn't have been all right. And I'd made promises to my daughters, as many of you have heard time and time again. You know, I'm not going to do this again. I promise. I'm sorry. I don't know how it happened, you know, until they lived in fear of whether I was awake or alive when they came home, awake or alive when they went to bed. They couldn't bring their friends home anymore. And to the outside world, I had this magnificent life, you know, the home, the husband, the children, the schooling, the social life. And yet inside, I was shaking to the core, full of fear and anxiety and resentment and all these emotions and feelings that I didn't know existed by words until I came in here. And you described them in absolute detail. Every single one of you shared your experience of how you felt. And I knew for the first time I wasn't alone. And I didn't have people here saying, pull yourself together, for goodness sake, just stop it. Just pull yourself together. Just don't take that first drink. Because for an alcoholic of my type, that's just an impossibility. I can make that decision in my head as much as I want, but it'll never last. And there was a meeting a couple of weeks ago where someone said, you know, that they were really sort of happy made decisions. I was only ever happy, and I could only make good decisions, I thought, once I'd had a drink. and then the world was rosy, and yeah, this was going to be different, and I could do that, and I could achieve this, and I could achieve that. But it never stopped at that one drink, because I didn't know about this allergy that I had to alcohol. I didn't understand the craving that came with taking that first drink. I didn't realize that that phenomenon of craving was going to kick in again, and I was just going to end up in this hopeless state of not knowing the unpredictability. I mean, I might have been all right, but I might not have done. You know, there'd been times I'd been out with my then husband and he'd bring me home and I genuinely didn't, I didn't get it. Why are we leaving early? And he'd say, you were burbling. But I was having this really great conversation in my head, but it wasn't actually coming out like that. And I did that time and time again. And so when my sponsor said, you know, you're insane, it actually made sense. The insanity was this powerlessness over doing this repeated action time and time again and not understanding that I was never going to be able to control it myself. And I did try at times, half-heartedly. And I would say to anyone who's in the room tonight, you know, who sort of feels, is this going to work, or is new, or is struggling or returning, you know, if you give in, it's so much simpler. It's so much easier. With the help of someone and the people in the room who'll just show you the way, you know. And Cookie always says that, you know, when he was handed the suggestions, he thought, they're having a laugh, aren't they? How's this ever going to work? Well, if I do them, I'll come back next week and they'll tell me what I've really got to do, you know. But those suggestions work. They really, really work. And I needed something that worked. You know, as the others have said, I wanted to be happy, but I wanted it quickly. I'm someone who likes to have good results quickly. And what was promised me was that if I did these things, I could have these results quickly. The way I thought, the way I felt would change over time, but I would feel different. So I took the suggestions and I got on my knees and I prayed for having had a sober day, because by that time I would consider I was dry. I wouldn't consider happy sobriety as I know it today. And I did believe in God. I didn't have a problem with the word God. And had taken the children to church, you know, and sort of taken the red wine and then gone home and finished off with all the other stuff I had. So I believed in a God. I really did. But I believe at that time I saw that as a punishing God, because that's the way I lived my life. You know, as I gave out, I was getting back from the world. So I prayed on my knees to God and asked for a sober day the next day. You know, I was encouraged and directed, because I took my suggestions as directions that I read from the basic text of Alcoholics Anonymous, the big book that, you know, had been pointed out, to read the doctor's opinion. And when I read that, it was such a relief to know that there were others like me, that somehow two people back in the 30s, you know, had come across something that would be life-saving for me. And these guys, Dr. Bob and Bill Wilson, you know, when they wrote the book, when they got together, Clancy says, we nearly missed it by that much, you know, because if that guy had walked the wrong way down that corridor in the hotel, we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't be here. And when I think about gratitude, I think about that, because I know how lucky I am to be here, because most alcoholics of my type with the disease of alcoholism don't make it through those doors. You know, most people end up in Skid Row, or time and again we hear of people dying in flats, alone, on the streets, you know. And I was protected to an extent by being lucky enough to have a house around me, but I couldn't have been more alone. I couldn't have been more alone. And so I know the opportunity I've been given, you know, and I say that with all humility, because when I came in, I was full of all that arrogance and pride and all the defects of character, you know, but I wanted to learn. For the first time, I was willing to take direction. And I was told to get a home group, and this is a fantastic home group. You know, it's an amazing home group to me. It's the best one in the world, where you have consistency, you have direction. You're given responsibility with suggestions. You know, you're given responsibility with service to come and do things, to be part of something. And the more importantly, you're missed when you're not here. And to me, I took up that because I needed to be somewhere where people had expectations of me, because they didn't out there. They just wanted me away from, they just wanted me to go away. And when I got a home group, you know, I was told to phone people from that home group. If there were no newcomers, I could just phone any of the other girls. And, you know, those girls today have become friends, and I never used to have friends, you know, because my drinking took me to isolation where I didn't want you around me. I didn't want you to see what was going on. And, you know, actually, I mean, at that time, without knowing it, I knew Johnny, you know, but he was going one way and I was going another way. And we just very carefully avoided, you know, each other because I was protecting my secret. I didn't want you to know about me. And I could never be comfortably fitted with other mums or children. And when I read the Just for Today card, I was told, don't just read it, study it. Take something from it and try and do it in that day. And that is absolutely invaluable because as someone new in AA, I needed direction and guidance on what I should do with my day. Because when I got into that thinking state that's already been described, I'd be a goner. You know, my thinking was insane. My thinking was very, very poor and wobbly. And whilst I hadn't made a total hash of my life all the time, you know, the good bits were probably more by luck and God than my management. And so doing Just for Today, I'd be happy. You know, it might seem a simple thing, but for an alcoholic of my type, that was a huge thing because I knew how to be unhappy and I knew how to be desperately sad and try and make you desperately sad for me. But you know what? You know, to try and be happy, to think of others, to do something for somebody without wanting a reward for it, because I always wanted reward. I always wanted you to be grateful to me and to know what I'd done. And so to try and do things in a modest way, in a humble way, was a real life eye-opener for me. And so I did it with all the earnestness at my command, because when I came in here, you talked about the causes and conditions of my illness. And it's every bit as damning as cancer and diabetes and heart disease. You know, this disease kills, and it's the only one that tells you you haven't got it. Because why else would I time and time again think, it's okay, I'm going to do this a different way. And I'd go to the GP, and I wouldn't be honest, and I'd just say I was feeling awful, and they'd feel sad for me. And, you know, they would give me pills, and I'd go home, and I would read the bottle, and it says, don't take this with alcohol. So what do? Take it with alcohol. You feel a lot better, you know. And it was just such a transient, temporary fix. You know, I just kept fixing my life. And then thank God, you know, through nothing I did, I just had that inner collapse, that inner integrity, which told me I was right and you were wrong, just crumbled one day. I'd fought it and I'd fought it and I'd fought it. They tried to take me to a treatment facility several months before I actually came into recovery because I just said I'd had enough. Well, actually, when the hangover wore off, I actually felt better, so I didn't need that anymore. And then that crumble that came, that black cave that came, and I just sat in it and I just thought, you know what, it really is over. This is over now. But I didn't know what to do, and I was desperately scared. And that was the last time I really lived in that fear ever, because once I was picked up by AA, I didn't ever feel that same fear again. As others have said, you know, we're not immune from life's problems and troubles and things happen to us, but we're not alone. We have sponsorship, you know, we have a 12-step program. We have steps that lead us through so that we can manage life, that we can deal with things. So that fear is always at a reasonable level. You know, there's prayer. There are so many tools that we have. We're so, so lucky. You know, and I've had that sort of experience in recovery, as have others, where I've needed to draw on those tools, because a drink isn't an option for me. You know, maybe some people can go through that door. Maybe they would get away with it, you know, but I certainly wouldn't. And I knew that when I came in, that I needed to mean business. And my sponsor said to me, are you willing to go to any length? And I said, yes. Didn't know what that meant, but I just said, yes. And that was my decision. And that was the first adult thing I decided to take responsibility for, was my recovery. And she said, because make no mistakes, I can give you these suggestions. You've got the piece of paper. I can't make you do them. Whether you do those things or not, I strongly recommend you do, but you are in control of your recovery. I am here if you need me and want me in the way that I've used my sponsor. And when I saw about her sponsor and her sponsor's sponsor and the way this worked, I just decided I would throw myself in, and thank God I did, because I can tell you, you know, I wouldn't have lasted another 15 months. You know, medically, I wouldn't. And that's why I say to any newcomer, you know, there is hope in this room. There is so much to live for in this room. And all it takes is one decision that you will do these things, you know, because our experience, and there's many, many, many years of experience of recovery just in this room, tells you that if you work through those steps with a sponsor, your life will change unrecognizably. You know, you will know a happiness and a contentment that just could not be imagined. And all I wanted was to be happy, but I've become more than happy. I've become blessed. I just feel so blessed that when I have problems or things don't go my way, you know, I can start my day again any time I like. I can just start my day again in my head. If it's a rat's day, I just don't physically have to go back to bed, but I can start it again. I can start with my Just for Today. I can start the reading, you know, getting the spot. I can do anything. But I see other people who are desperately miserable, desperately unhappy, and really messing up their lives. And, you know, I wish I could tell them about AA, but they're not alcoholics. They wouldn't understand. And it says in the 12 by 12, you know, unless you were that desperate, you wouldn't consider doing these things. You know, why would I want to consider humbly that I was powerless and that I've made such a mess of my life? I couldn't do this without someone else. And the reality is that I do feel blessed. I do feel blessed today that I'm an alcoholic with the disease of alcoholism, recovered just for today, provided I do these things. And that's all I've done, these things on a daily basis. And I remember Alexis saying in a share once that, you know, when he got to be a teenager in AA, he sort of thought, you know, he just sort of knew a bit better and sort of went a bit wobbly for a little bit. And I just thought, idiot, I'll never do that. I know which side my bread's buttered. And the reality is that actually when I got to about that same stage, you know, thank God, like Alexis, I never went out the doors. But sort of things happened. I didn't quite like them. I always did all my suggestions, but my thinking came back in. My thinking came back in. And whilst my thinking is a whole lot better today, I can never say it's recovered. And until and unless I speak to my sponsor, then I'm on a slippery slope. And that absolute honesty I have to have with one person is absolutely vital. And I've tried to maintain that, and thank God, you know, that I can stand up here today and say that as I've recovered, you know, my family have recovered. You know, I still put myself at the center of my home group, because without this home group coming in here, you know, 2-3 times a week, where my kind of people are, the people who really genuinely understand me, you know, I'm nothing. I'm nothing without you guys, because you know, you don't need me. But my God, I need you. I need AA, and I need this 12-step program. You know, and as long as I can remember humbly where I was, but act in today, you know, my family, my daughters will never have to worry again where I am. And I know today, you know, if I'm late for whatever reason, actually one of them, I've done it so well, the amends, she's moved back in again. But, you know, the other one, when I'm a bit late, she doesn't think, oh my God, Mum's pissed. She doesn't ever worry about that. And this was a child who said to me, I hate you. I hate you for what you've done to my life. And she wouldn't talk about it. She wouldn't discuss it. And the only time I could mention AA was when I got to make amends to her. And since then, you know, I have been so blessed that I've got my daughters back in my life, my family, my grandchildren that I'm trusted with. You know, things that to other people are normal everyday living, but to an alcoholic of my type, you know, nothing short of miraculous. And I would beg anyone who feels wobbly or is not quite sure about this, look around you, look in the eyes of people, see how they're looking, look how they're sounding. You know, they're dressed up. It's a Friday night. We're here together. And as Mike says, if there was a better deal out there, he would be out there. We all would. But this works. And the reason, thanks, Alexis, the reason I'm here today is simply because I put one foot in front of the other with other people, people who know better than me, people who will always know better than me and be great examples of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I feel so privileged to be in this fellowship. And as I say, I don't know when I came in how big a deal the meetings were, but I do know that this group has worked very hard through PI and service, you know, to get it out to doctor surgeries and around. And the service we do in this group is second to none, because we, you know, we believe passionately, as I'm sure other recovered alcoholics do, the need to get this out to other people like us. You know, I wouldn't have made it. I wouldn't have made it if there hadn't been a 12-step program. And it wasn't the 30s, it was the 50s. And Bob and Bill, you know, thank God for them, because I know as an alcoholic, I wouldn't be here. Today, as a recovered alcoholic, so grateful and so happy. I would urge anyone who has any doubts, just listen, just do it, and you'll have an amazing life. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, everyone. I would now like to introduce tonight's final speaker, Michael.
My name's Michael, I'm an alcoholic. Let's start off by thanking Wayne for sponsoring me all this time. I'd like to thank my mum. I'd like to thank my wife, my kids. I'd like to thank Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to thank my father. Who else can I thank? No one really. Anyway, yeah, my name's Michael, I'm an alcoholic, and I'm up here today, 15 years sober. And if somebody would have told me that 15 years ago, you know what I mean, I would have just laughed, you know what I mean? I feel really blessed to be given a second crack at life, you know what I mean? To have experienced two different lives in one lifetime, basically, you know what I mean? I arrived here at the end of November 1997, and I'd just been kicked out of a treatment centre. And I thought that was the last place that you know what I mean, was going to help me. Before then, do you know what I mean? There was failed attempts from doctors, counsellors, psychiatrists, everything that I thought I could try to stop my drinking or even control me drinking, I tried. And nothing worked. It just got worse and worse and worse. And I was one of these alcoholics that I'd never had a job, you know what I mean, from leaving school. I'd never really had like a job. I never had no purpose, direction. My life was about just, and my mates that I used to hang around with was about just every day finding ways and means to just getting out of our faces, you know what I mean? And that was it. And I thought working was for losers. Why would you want to work for it? You know what I mean? I tried a few jobs and it's just so hard, you know what I mean? I just couldn't do it. And I remember in recovery, I was about two years into recovery. I'd got a job, I'd started work, I'd gone through the 12-step program, and I was in a cafe somewhere with my workmates, and this bloke's come up to me and gone, "Hello, Michael, how are you? You're looking well. I hadn't seen you for a while." He said, "What are you up to?" And so I said, and I thought, "Who are you?" And I didn't have a clue who this person was. I thought, like, program, you know what I mean? Higher power, get assertive, ask him. Just, you know what I mean? So I said, "Yeah, no, fast. Sorry, your face is familiar, but where do I know you from again?" He said, "I lived next door to you for about 10 years. I was like, "What?" And then it clicked. I thought he was up to no good, because I would never see this person. From first thing in the morning, he'd be gone. I wouldn't see him all day. And then all of a sudden, I may hear the door bang at night. And that was it. I'd never see it. I thought, he's up to no good. Didn't occur to me I had a 9-to-5 job. You know what I mean? This didn't figure. And that was it. I had no concept on how to live life. I had no focus, no ambition, no direction. I just didn't have a clue. You know what I mean? I found out later that this was really my problem. Was not so much the drink, it was a living problem. And when I look back, I was full flight from reality. You know what I mean? I didn't want the normal things that normal people done. I wasn't interested in these things. Relationships, you know what I mean? As long as the girl was a good shoplifter, that was all right. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, jobs, didn't want a job. You know what I mean? She's a good shoplifter, that's fine. Break out every day, breaking the law, up to no good, to get money to drink. That was my life. You know what I mean? Day after day, week after week, month after month. And it got to a point where I thought I was having fun and everybody else was deprived of it. But there come a point where I thought I'd had enough and I tried to stop and I found out that I couldn't. And that's when, like, things got a bit scary. You know what I mean? And I'll try again, try and stop again. I'd last a couple of days, weeks, maybe. You know what I mean? And it would backfire and I'd pick up a drink again. I'd be in and out of prison. I'd go in prison and I'd write letters home to the family, promising not to do these things again. I'm going to change my life, or I'll get a job, and promises that I sincerely meant. And sometimes it'd be smudge marks in the ink, you know what I mean? Where I'm like crying, writing letters to me nan or me mum, you know what I mean? Thinking, why do I keep doing this? You know what I mean? Why? Because inside I knew I was a good person, you know what I mean? Inside I knew I was a decent chap, and yet I was like Frank Spencer. You know what I mean? Everything I'd done just backfired and went wrong. You know what I mean? And it was so frustrating because I wanted to show everybody how good a decent chap I was. And yet the order that I tried, it made me look a bad chap. You know what I mean? It's just everything I'd done, the opposite effect happened. And I'd write these letters home, and I sincerely meant them from the bottom of my heart, you know. And then I would get discharged from prison, walk through the gates, and I would totally forget what I've been in there for. Can I have one of them sweets, mate? Is it cost sweet? No? Oh, right. But, I'd get out of prison, I'd totally forget what I was in there for. And, I'd go out, meet the mates, pick up a drink, try and control it, may go right that night, that may last a week, and think, oh, it ain't too bad. But then, over any period of time, I would always overstep that mark, and the inevitable would happen again. And I would be seeking out from the doctors, the counsellors, the psychiatrists. Nothing worked, you know what I mean? In fact, the drinking got worse and worse and worse. The harder I tried, the worse it got, you know what I mean? And I didn't have a clue about alcoholism. Nobody ever explained, like, this illness to me, like you people did at my first meeting. The doctors, it was all about cutting down. Counsellors, it was all about cutting down and trying to get a control on it. Nobody ever told me about, like, the phenomenon of craving, the first drink that done the damage. That whenever I took a drink into my system, it would trigger off like a craving where I'd have to have another and another and another. And then when I heard that in an AA meeting, I thought, yeah, there wasn't very many times where I would have a drink and be content with that. There was always that obsession, you know what I mean? Where if I thought about having a drink, then I was as good as drunk. You know what I mean? I would go to the end of the world and back to get a drink. Nothing would stop me. And when people described it, the main problem of the alcoholic centers in the mind. You know what I mean? The drink is just a symptom. It's just a small part of the main problem centers in our mind. And I always thought the problem was the drink. And yet when people describe to me that it's like the jaywalker in the Big Book, you know what I mean? Or it's like a little child who touches a hot stove. They're not going to touch it again because they get burnt and it hurts them. Yet with the alcoholic, we don't seem to have any mental defense against the picking up of that next drink. That insane thought or notion that someday, somehow, I'll be able to drink like a gentleman. This is what I had. And I was told here that needed to be smashed. Many pursue it into the gates of insanity and death. You know what I mean? And I could see that. I mean, year after year after year, you know what I mean? I tried to control and it just got worse and worse and worse. And I arrived here, let's say November 97, and I remember the reading, and one thing that stood out is probably no human power could have relieved us of our alcoholism. And you know what I mean? I'm not a religious man. I was told that this is a spiritual power. I could believe in whatever I wanted to believe, whether it's a dead relative, it's the power of this meeting, the power of AA as a whole. You know what I mean? As long as I'm praying to something that made sense to me, you know what I mean? However inadequate it may seem to other people, as long as it made sense to me, that was enough. So I remember like arriving here and listening to you people do what I'm doing tonight, and you people talk my language. For, you know what I mean? You people have been to the places where I've been, yet you'd found a way out. For the first time in my life, I didn't feel that I was a special case. You know what I mean? I realized that night that I was just like you people here. You know what I mean? I wasn't special or different. I was just like one of you. And again, for the first time in my life, around alcoholism and drinking and other things, I realized that, well, if I do what you people have done, then why shouldn't I get the same results as what you people have got? And that's as simple as I kept it, you know what I mean? And really, it's a case of playing follow the leader, you know what I mean? I followed the people that went before me. You people won my confidence, you know what I mean? A blagger can't blag a blagger, you know what I mean? I know you people have been to where I've been. From the stories that you tell, like, I could match the mental inconsistencies around the insanity that goes before the taking of the first drink, this insane thought that will make it better. You know what I mean? No matter how bad your drinking got, you would always make it all right to pick up that next drink. I could relate to these things. So I knew you weren't lying. And I knew if you was like me, you wouldn't be stood up here saying that this stuff really works. This is really good stuff. And really blows my mind, and you know what I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's amazing today. And if it was crap, you know what I mean, if it was crap, I would tell you it was crap. I would stand up here, I'll be the first one to tell you, this is all shit, don't listen to these people, you know what I mean, because these people ain't got a clue. I've done this for so long now, and I ain't feeling no better. I would tell you, you know what I mean, especially after you're telling me to get involved with service and pick up stuff from outside and make cups of tea, and I didn't get no benefits from it, I'd be really, really angry. I'd be really angry. Angry on the verge of being violent. angry on the verge of having violent tendencies. If I was tricked into doing work for somebody, not getting paid for it, and I didn't get nothing from it, I would be mighty, mighty, without swearing, peeved. And yeah, I started doing these things within weeks. You know what I mean? Within weeks, I was feeling something's working. I could feel a power working for me that I'd never felt before. I don't know what that power was or whatever it was, I could feel it working. I had weeks and weeks and weeks of no sleep, withdrawing from antidepressants, drink, and all these things. And I couldn't get to sleep. All I had was my list of suggestions, my sponsor's phone number, and the meeting was a lot smaller there. A few phone numbers of like other people in the meeting. Used to meet up with Dave a lot. And I was doing these things, and my two fears, it was the same as Dr. Bob. I had a fear of not getting to sleep, and I had a fear of running out of drink. Because if I ran out of drink, I wouldn't get any sleep, and I'd be tossing and turning, pacing up and down all night. You know what I mean? And yet, I didn't have none of these things in early recovery, and I wasn't sleeping, and I didn't have no drink, and yet I was doing these suggestions, and I was feeling on top of the world. And I would phone my sponsor every day. I'd tell him, I haven't had no sleep, but I'm feeling great. You know what I mean? I can feel that something is working. And I remember that first night when I got a few hours sleep, and then I got a few more hours sleep, and then I got a few more hours sleep, and then I was sleeping like a baby, right through. You know what I mean? And I was just on top of the world. You know what I mean? I was on top of the world. And this was early on in recovery. I, you know what I mean? Like John said, made a start on the steps. Within 3 months of working with my sponsor, I was doing my first step nines, and I went out making amends, and that was when my sponsor told me to get a job. And you've all heard it before. I thought, why is he punishing me? You know what I mean? Why? And but I did it. You know what I mean? I went out, I got a job. It was hard. Don't get me wrong. You know what I mean? It was hard. I was 26, 27 years old. You know what I mean? Never been able to integrate with society. And then I'm in this job, not having a clue what to do. Stood around half the time, looking like a dummy. Afraid to ask anybody for help. And yeah, I persevered with it and went on to do well at that. You know what I mean? And I've gone on from there. And then from there, you know what I mean? The 15 years that I've had in AA does blow my mind. You know what I mean? And I would tell you if it was any different, and it would be dishonest of me to do that, because my life today is unrecognizable to the one that I had before I arrived here. You know what I mean? People that I work for in like business contacts that I have today, they haven't got a clue, a lot of them. You know what I mean? And like ones that I do get close to, and I tell them, they that's unbelievable. That is absolutely unbelievable. You know what I mean? They can't picture such a fine fella like me as leading this like double life, like 15 years ago. You know what I mean? I have prisons and institutions and them trusting me with all sorts of manner of things. You know what I mean? That's such an upstanding pillar of society that I am. You know what I mean? It's, I was never like that before. I was never like that before. I was locked up from society for being a nuisance. You know what I mean? And it's little things like that. This 12-step program as well in AA is always, for me, you know what I mean, has always made me want to do the best I can in life. In whatever I do, whether it's work, family life, just go for gold. I was always told, go for gold, you know what I mean? Don't settle for silver, go for gold, you know what I mean? So from work, in my work, you know what I mean? I went back to college, done courses, you know what I mean? Set up my own business in what I do today, you know what I mean? And in relationships as well, I was told, don't sell yourself short. You know what I mean? Do the right things around it. Don't go sleeping about, putting it about. You know what I mean? Follow suggestions. Do the right thing. You know what I mean? When you meet somebody, take them, date them, get to know the person. You know what I mean? And I remember that opportunity arose. You know what I mean? With my beautiful wife that I'm married to today, Tammy. Best get mentioned. The wife and my kids, Millie and Maisie, you know what I mean? I remember when I first started dating Tammy, I would have rather have been put in a ring with Mike Tyson. The nerves that I felt, I was feeling sick, my legs were shaking. Don't tell her that. Give it a large, didn't I? But I was phoning up my sponsor. What do I do? What do I say? Where should I take her? You know what I mean? Well, just like so, never done it before. You know what I mean? Like real. You know what I mean? This is a real deal in AA. You sober up and everything becomes like real. You know what I mean? And I'd done the right things around it. Dude, took her out. And looking back on it, it's like the early days of recovery. My early days of recovery, and to anybody new tonight, they are not to be missed. You know what I mean? That feeling where it's all like new and you see a place where you're in society and that feeling that everything's going to be all right without a drink, without a drug, or without whatever it is. You know what I mean? That makes you feel better. You have this peace and this serenity that comes over you. And you know that if you keep doing what we're supposed to do here, then it will just get better and better. You know what I mean? And that first feeling in early days was amazing. And it was like the same when I started dating my wife. You know what I mean? Dating her. You know what I mean? Going pictures, doing this, doing that. You know what I mean? It was brilliant. And then a couple of years later, we got married. You know what I mean? And, as a sponsor and as a sponsee, you know what I mean? You hear it all the time. Well, I'm never going to meet no one. I'm never going to do, you know what I mean? And, but you may not, but you put this first, the right things, whatever it'll be, will happen. And, you know what I mean? My life is just amazing today. It is. You know what I mean? What AA has done for me, it still blows my mind today. And I'm no, the most satisfactory years of our existence lie ahead. You know what I mean? Through the old timers that's gone before me, and also just knowing, like the 15 years that I've been around, just knowing that if you keep doing this, you know what I mean? You keep coming to your meetings, you know what I mean? Doing your suggestions, phoning your sponsor, you know what I mean? Doing service, you know what I mean? It gets better. Don't get me wrong, I've had my fair share of ups and downs in the last couple of years, but so does everybody in life, you know what I mean? But I would say 99% of my time in AA is been ups. You know what I mean? A small percentage of life on life's terms, trials in low spots, is nothing. You know what I mean? Compared to the great things that AA has done for me, and I know will continue to do so as long as I put this first. And you see so many people come in, you know what I mean? And they do well for months, years, you know what I mean? They get the wife, they get the job, the career, they get a new house or new car or whatever, and get a bit cocksure and think, that's ideal. Don't need to do this anymore, you know what I mean? I'll cut down on my meetings, you know, I've got the missus. Was that stop? And then I can share for another 2 minutes, or was that, yeah. Carry on for another 2 minutes. Yeah. Ideal. I seen the red one first. Was I? Well, I wasn't tripping, was I? Okay. Ideal. But yeah. But yeah. So anyway, I'm having flashbacks now. All these lights going off. Getting paranoid now that another one's going to come on in a minute. But no. Like I say, like AA and what this has done for me, you know what I mean? And what I've seen through people that stopped doing this, you know what I mean? Everything I have in my life today, I said this before, everything I have in my life today is on hire purchase from this fellowship. And if I stop my weekly, my monthly payments to this fellowship, you know what I mean? I know that the debt collector, which is alcoholism, addiction, or whatever it may be, you know what I mean? Will come and take everything from me. I've seen that. You know what I mean? I've seen it happen year after year after year. And it's heartbreaking to see as well. You know what I mean? Because this illness affects families and other people like no other illness can. It rips through families, society, like wildfire. You know what I mean? And tortures the individuals as it's happening. You know what I mean? And, to see people come in and get all these wonderful things in their life and be happy, and then the next thing you know, it's all taken away, and these people are, you know what I mean, just devastated. It is heartbreaking. But the thing is, it's here. Just got to keep doing what we were doing the first day that we were presented with when we arrived here. You know what I mean? And my little girl tonight, I've come down with my stuff on, she's gone. To me, Mum, yeah. Dad's doing the main share tonight, isn't he? He loves that. He loves that, he does. And I heard her, you know what I mean? Where before they cried because I'll come into a meeting, now they know what I'm doing, you know what I mean? They know what the dad's got to do to keep the dad what they got. And thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Sobercast is ad-free, and we'd like your help in order to keep it that way. So if you'd like to help us be self-supporting by pledging $1 or $2 a month, visit Sobercast.com and look for the donate links. Thank you very much.